be back with you tonight.
Yes.
And thank the Lord for this good day today.
Yeah,
glad to be alive. Appreciate the health that He's given me and all He's done for me. I'm so thankful for it.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the opportunity to get to be with you this week.
Thank you, Lord. And,
try to be a help. You know, I told my church Sunday morning, so if it's good enough for my church, I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
I told them, I said, it's a good thing there ain't no ants building an ant hill in the middle of our church, because we'd be able to hear them carrying the dirt out of the hole.
Come on now. Amen.
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 Yes.
I want you to worship the Lord tonight. How many of you are dead tonight? Raise your hand. Well, we're going to have a good meeting then. Amen.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
All right.
Yes, Lord.
I appreciate these folk that participate in a worship service. I'll tell you something. You ought to take time to thank people for testifying and for participating in singing.
Yes.
Anybody that does that, but especially young folks, amen.
Yes.
And encourage them. And that's a real blessing, amen.
Amen.
Sure is. Sure is.
Amen.
Am I going to have to do more than shouting than that and preaching?
Bless you.
Michael, will you help me? All right. How many of you would testify for a $5 bill? Raise your hand. Tomorrow night I'm going to bring me a 5-gallon bucket of ice water. If you don't liven up, you're going to get doused. All right. The Gospel of John, chapter number 5. The Gospel of John, chapter number 5. Let's stand together. Verse number 1. Now, in all seriousness, I do appreciate you making the effort to come out. I know you worked hard today. Probably weary in body and tired. And I thank you for being faithful tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, or he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So we're going to leave off our reading there. Go to the Lord in prayer, and after we pray, you can be seated. Father, I come to you in Jesus' precious name tonight to ask you, Lord, to help us. And Lord, I stand in great responsibility tonight to stand and preach the Word of God. So I pray that you touch me physically tonight, and I pray that you give me strong direction of mind, a strong voice, but most of all, that holy anointing it takes to preach the Word of God. Be with our services back home. Help the man of God that's preaching there tonight. Help us in this meeting. I pray that you cause the message to take hold with great effect and change our lives tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I thank God, not because I'm a preacher, but I just thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. Don't you? Amen. It has the power to affect us and change our lives. There's not many people want their life changed in these days. They're complacent. They're spiritually asleep. They're in a lukewarm condition. They're in a comfort zone. And they don't want anybody rocking their boat. They certainly don't want God changing anything about them. Well, the text that I've read to you tonight, I'm sure it's a familiar text to you about this impotent man that had had this infirmity for 38 years. The Bible's telling us about this pool, and he's lying by this pool along with a multitude of other folk that have got infirmities. And at a certain time, at a certain season, an angel was dispatched from the Lord to come down and to trouble that water. And as the Bible tells us, the first one that stepped in and was immersed into that water was healed of their infirmity. When I read passages like this, I stand amazed at the fact that Jesus comes to a place like this where there's several people around that are suffering with an infirmity, but he comes to deal with just one.
Amen.
Just one. And so I'm asking myself a question, what's the difference in this one man from all the others? And I know that the Lord loves everybody, and I mean that in the sense that he died for all men. That doesn't mean when he said it is finished at Calvary that salvation was applied to all men. But salvation had been provided for all men. Amen? And so they must come and must be quickened to come to a place of realization for who God is, what the Lord's done, who they are as a vile sinner, and repent of that sin and call upon God by faith for mercy and for salvation.
Amen.
Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Well, that's Bible. Amen? That's Bible doctrine right there.
Amen.
And so, the Bible's telling us about this man. Jesus came and one out of the many received a miracle. Now, the Bible gives me some information here that here's a man that's been lame on his feet for 38 years.
Yes.
I can read this story and I understand one thing, that this man really wants to be healed.
Yes. Yes.
He wants to be healed. His heart's desire is to be healed. I know that there are other people around this pool
waiting for this miraculous event in hopes that they could immerse into the water and be the first one and be healed. Some of them could have been newcomers. Some of them could have been there for 6 months or a year or two. Maybe some 5 or 10 years. But the Bible's telling us about this man with this infirmity, and he's had it for 38 years. Yeah. And here he lies by this pool, and I know from the text that it is his heart's desire to want to be healed of this lame disease and get up and walk. Now, in the Bible, when you look at a spiritual application of walking, in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter number 5, those chapters are dealing with how we should walk as a Christian. And that walking simply implies, how we live our life.
Amen.
Listen to me tonight. It matters how you live your life.
Amen.
Without Christ, you don't have the power to live the Christian life.
Amen.
But if you claim the name of Christ and you truly been saved, then the Bible says that the Spirit of God indwells inside of you.
Amen.
Everything about your nature has been changed. Amen?
Amen?
A divine nature is inside of you. He's changed your mind. He's changed your manners. He's changed the way you look, the way you act. He's changed your desires.
Right.
Y'all believe in all
this? Yes,
you're a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
Literally, that means you are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So here's a man that more than anything in this world, he wants to be healed of this infirmity. Now, here's my opinion tonight. Here's my opinion. If I'm giving you my opinion, I don't mind telling you it's my opinion. But here's my opinion. I think the Lord focused on this one man because he knew of the true deep heart desire that this man, more than anything, to lie there and have that desire for all those many years and want to be delivered of this infirmity, he wanted something from God.
Amen.
If you really want something from God, heaven knows that you want that.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And it is in God's desire to give you that spiritual desire or that thing that you want. Before the Lord saved me, he so deepened conviction upon me that I wanted to be saved more than anything in this world.
Amen.
And the Lord granted my desire.
Amen.
And he saved my soul. And I praise his dear name for that.
Amen.
If you want to live for God and you want to drool over that and entertain a great desire for that, then God will empower you to live for him. If you want to have a prayer life, if you want to walk with power in the Spirit of God, he will grant that request for you. You see, what our problem is in this hour, we don't want those things. And we've got too much pride to admit that we don't want it. Amen. But we want a lot of other things that this world affords. We want the things of this world. We want money. People love money. People will crawl to the job so sick with bronchitis and on the verge of pneumonia, drag themselves in, work overtime. And I'm going to tell you, if the baby cried too much the night before and they missed 2 hours of sleep, you won't see them in the house of God all day on Sunday. You're not going to convince this preacher that that outfit wants anything from God.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Preacher, you're preaching.
Amen.
I told God to amen myself tonight. And so, I'm simply saying, this man wanted something from God. Amen. This man wants something. Now, here's what I need to determine tonight. Do I want something from God?
Come on.
Do I want more from God than what I really have?
Yeah.
Now, I've got an honest confession tonight. I'm sick of no more than what I've got.
Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Lord,
I mean, I'm in a spiritual sickness, and I need some help tonight. And you may say, preacher, why are you preaching to us? Well, God afforded me this privilege,
amen,
and I'm doing my best.
Sure.
But I'm here to tell you, I already spoke my hands tonight, and I will tell you, I want to go to another level than what I've been dwelling at for too long. Amen.
Right.
I want to experience a realm in prayer, in preaching, in living for God. I want a holy boldness like I've never had. I want to experience a joy in my soul like I've never experienced.
Yeah.
I want to step over into a realm of praise where I've never been, since I've been saved.
Yeah.
Amen. I will tell you, I'm sick of being sick spiritually, and I'm tired of being complacent and dead on God. Amen.
Amen.
And I want something from Him. And so I'm being honest with him, honest with myself, and honest to you tonight. This man wanted something from God.
Yes.
He wanted to be healed. He didn't understand everything doctrinally. If you came up and asked him all the questions doctrinally, he probably couldn't answer much. Yeah, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Right?
Right.
And all he knew is what other people had experienced about a miracle that happened in this pool of water. And he knew it was from God, and he wanted to experience something from God so his life would be changed. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, whether you want it tonight, our lives need to be changed,
yes,
by the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Our homes need to be changed.
Yes.
Our marriages need to be changed.
Yes.
And may the Lord help us. Our attitudes need to be
balanced. Yes.
We got some of the sorriest,
yes,
sorry attitudes,
yes,
are plaguing our churches across.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Listen, if you think I preach me nothing here, you don't want to join my church.
Amen.
I told them if they didn't want to come, to leave and not come back. I get tired of changing diapers on people.
Amen.
Amen. God didn't call me to do that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I have told them I was going to dip in my personal money and just buy pacifiers, buy case lotments,
yeah,
and just bring them to church and pass them out. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't worth that to me. If you're coming and you walk in and you look like you don't want to be there and you sit like you don't want to be there, then don't be there.
Amen.
Don't be there. Because I can't help you and God can't help you and the church can't help you.
Right.
The only thing you're doing is pulling everybody over on the side of I don't want to be here. And I don't want your I don't want to be here to affect the people that do want to be here.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
I think that's right.
Amen,
preacher.
Amen.
That's right. I think that's absolutely right.
Yes, sir.
And we've got too much money grubbing and too much attitude. This old boy, I got respect for him. He wanted something.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to hide nothing. He said, I can't walk. I don't care who knows it. Everybody in the neighborhood knows it. I just want God to do something for me.
Yeah.
He didn't invite Jesus to do anything for him.
Right.
But Jesus knew his name, his address, his social security number, and he knew exactly out of all that crowd around that pool exactly where he was lying.
Right.
Sure he is. He knew what was in that boy's heart. And he walked over, he stepped over this one. He said, excuse me, ma'am. And he went around this one. And he stepped over this man on that cot. He walked around this pool and he went from just.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, he knew his heart.
Yeah.
God, let me. I want to tell you something tonight. God's not against us. He's for us.
Right.
He wants to help us tonight.
Yeah.
But all the help we get has to come by God's condition.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you're waiting for God to meet your condition, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
You got to come by God's condition. Now, basically what this is about, it's just a simple testimony in the Scriptures about one of the many miracles that our Lord performed during His earthly ministry.
Yes.
And He's good at what He does. And I'm taking my text tonight from verse number 8. It's a short verse. Here's what it says. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And out of that one verse, I'm looking at one word, that word, rise. So I want to preach to you tonight on the enemies of rising. The enemies of rising. Jesus Christ came to get us up.
Yes.
And when you look at His ministry, His earthly ministry, our Lord was all about people getting up.
Amen.
And rising from the dead,
yes,
from sickness. He was all about it. Over in Mark 2 and verse number 9, you remember the four fellas that picked up the boy on the cot and brought him to the house where Jesus was? And it had to be a Baptist church, because the poor boy was a sinner, needed help from God, but they were all there to see the show. And that's why the majority of Baptists come to church for. They want to watch a show. And so that poor boy needed to get in, but nobody would move out of the way. Amen? And so I'm thankful for people that got compassion for sins. Amen? They climbed the rooftop, removed the tally, lay them down at the feet of Jesus. Y'all remember that story? Amen. And here's what the Lord said unto him. He said, here's the word He used. Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. In other words, I'm bestowing upon you, if you'll exercise your faith in me. He says, I'm bestowing upon you the power for your life to be completely changed from this day forward. You don't have to live in that cot anymore. Thank God for that. Amen. And so the Bible talks about that man. He talks about a demon-possessed boy in Mark chapter number 9 and verse 27. Amen. In Mark 9 and verse 27, he talks about that demon-possessed boy, and the Lord cast out that father, that demon out of, or those demons out of that father's son, and when they came out, they went him sore, so that the crowd standing around pronounced him dead. They pronounced him dead. But Jesus, the Bible says, took him by the hand and lifted him up.
Amen.
He didn't bend over and tied him down there in that slain condition and said, son, I'm glad your daddy brought you today. I appreciate the effort that you made. Daddy, take him on home and bring him back. Just be soothed where you are. The Lord never intended for anybody to be down. Listen to this preacher tonight. I always preach basic and simple, because that's all the mind I've got. But I'm here to tell you, the one that's interested in putting people down is the devil.
Amen.
Sin puts people down.
Amen.
We need to quit drinking from the fountains of sin. Amen. Because it always puts people down.
Amen.
Now, I've been preaching now, and I'm not giving you my history because I'm anything, but I've been preaching now in October, be 37 years. But I've been pastoring for over 30 years now. That's when I'm bald-headed and I'm about dead. Anyway, but I want to say this. I've watched a lot of people come to that place where they decide something in their heart. Somebody, something out somewhere has pulled on them. And they start making changes. If they were sitting here, I see them go back about this far. And they'll stay there for a while, and then they'll change and go back about that far. And it's not long, I see them all the way in the back of the church with their head down between their legs. And what's happened is their water's been changed. Something's pulling on them out there, and they leave. And they make every kind of excuse. I've had them leave and don't even have enough respect to come and tell me. I think a man that's in a church, and will slip out like a slithery snake and not have enough guts to come talk to the pastor about what he's doing, it tells me one thing for a fact. He's doing something dead wrong. Amen? And every one of them I've seen do that makes a turn and they get involved in sin and it always puts them down. It always puts them down. That's right. And so the Lord took that old boy by the hand and lifted him up. Mark chapter 10, 49. The Bible says this is about blind Bartimaeus. You know the story. He's over there outside the walls of Jericho. Jesus is passing by. He hears the commotion. He says, "What's this about?" They say, "The Lord's passing by." That's all he needs right there. Master! Master! Have mercy upon me! Have mercy upon me! And Jesus stops. He is all about people that will cry out for help. Yes. Amen. He'll stop. And Jesus came over and basically, Brother Michael, he took a blank check from him to town and he signed it Jesus Christ and he handed it to old blind Bartimaeus and said, "You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank." Old Bartimaeus took that. He couldn't see. He said, "I'll have to tell you so somebody else can write it. I want my eyesight so I can see. I want my eyesight so I can see." Yeah. And you know what they said? They said to Bartimaeus, said, "Rise up. He calleth for thee." Yes. When Jesus calls, that means it's getting up time. It means your life is fixing to change. It's time to rise up. I can go on and on. The maid over there, Jairus' daughter, that died. You remember they came after the healing of the woman with the issue of blood? Jairus was already on the way with the master, and one came from his house and said, "Trouble not the master, it's too late." If he hadn't have stopped and healed that woman there, he probably could have helped your daughter. But now it's too late. She's done drawing her last breath. Her lips are turned blue. There's no heartbeat. We picked her hand up and drops back down on the bed. Her body's getting climate and cold. She's gone. There's no hope. And I can almost see him. He slumps with fear and shock and dismay. But in my mind's eye, I see our Lord touch him up under the arm and says, "Son, only believe. Only believe." Amen. And so he takes the Lord and they go into the house. He puts out all those critics that are standing around mourning, and the master said, "She's not dead. She sleeps." And they laugh at God. Right. There's a lot of people laughing at God. America's been laughing at God. Politicians are laughing at God. School teachers that are teaching these youngins laugh at God. Amen. They laugh at these men, our forefathers, that knew God and planted this nation and stood for grace and truth. They laugh about all that. They laugh at preachers. They laugh at morals. They laugh at the cross. They laugh at being born again.
Amen.
John chapter number 11.
By the way, that woman, Jesus walked in and said, "Maid, arise." That's all he had to say.
Yes.
"Maid, I want to see you further than being down. I want you to get up. Maid, arise." Are y'all getting this tonight?
Yes.
John 11 and verse number 23. He said to Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again."
Uh-huh.
"Thy brother shall rise again."
Yes.
Now, when we look at all this in the Bible, you could go all the way back. You can look at Naaman as a leper. You can look at all these situations through the Bible where people had leprosy. People were lame on their feet. One man had a withered hand. Is that right? I remember that.
Yes.
Had a withered hand. The woman with the issue of blood.
Right.
People were blind. And God worked miracles in their lives.
Amen.
For healing. And thank God for a God that cares for people's physical condition.
Yes, sir.
I still believe God does that today.
Yes, sir.
I believe He heals people physically.
Yes, sir.
He heals them mentally. He touches the literal fleshly heart and He can heal them. He can touch a fleshly lung and heal it. God is able to do that. But all those pictures in the Bible have a spiritual application. They have a spiritual application. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. Being crippled on your feet and not having the power to walk by the power of God is all a picture of the effects of sin.
Right.
The blindness, being cursed with blindness, living in darkness, that's all an application of sin.
God.
Do you understand what sin does for people tonight? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
We should not be interested in sin. We should not be interested in sin. We shouldn't be interested in sinners. Did you know? Listen, I'm not against sports. I think they need to take away all the millions of dollars from sports. I think they need to take away all the Budweiser commercials out of sports.
Amen.
Amen. But really, really, sports. Way back yonder, when I was a kid, my brother was a boy, and he was 8 years older than me. Sports had a little bit of dignity to it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. If you came and showed up at a football practice when I was a kid and your hair was dyed purple with a mohawk, that coach would kick you off the team and send you back. If you had a long ponytail braided and you weren't supposed to be a football player, why, the rest of the team would have beat your teeth out after practice. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. If you showed up for ball practice and had your mama's pierced earring in your ear, they would have pulled it out without unhooking it.
Amen.
Listen, they got put up with that. But now there's a bunch of freaks playing basketball. I tell you, mamas and daddies, I wouldn't let your children hang one of them posters up on their head. Amen. I'll admit they're hanging the posters up. They're not heroes. They're a bunch of heathens. Amen. They're a bunch of immoral heathens. That's right.
That's right.
I mean, y'all mad about Alabama football, didn't
they? Go ahead.
They're a bunch of whoremongers.
Right.
I'm telling you the truth. And so are some Tennessee players. They're a bunch of rebels and whoremongers.
Right.
I had an article in the paper about that young fellow now that took the Tennessee quarterback position. While they arrested him here about 6 weeks ago, he got drunk. And he was standing out on the porch steps in the college dorms and tossing beer bottles and breaking people's windshields out. But you know who's throwing the football for Tennessee? That drunk.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you know what blows me away? Baptists will pay $100 a ticket.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
And sit out in 32-degree weather with rain and sleet and snow and pay $5 for a coat
and $5 for a bag of popcorn and sit up under umbrellas and scream and yell and spend all that money, even buy motel rooms and spending the night, and come back home and said, we've had a blast. But they ain't going to be in the church house on Sunday. They're not going to be in the church house. You know what? I done forgot what I was preaching about. I feel something that makes me mad in the fire, and I forgot all about what I'm preaching. I'm preaching to you tonight about the spiritual application. Sin always takes you down. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalm 40 and verse number 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He did what for me? He brought me up.
Amen.
Now, rising in a spiritual application is a godly thing. Death, Jesus Christ submitted himself to death.
Yes.
He permitted death to keep him for 3 days. Death didn't have no power on him. When he bowed his head, death didn't have the power. He gave up the ghost. That's right. He gave permission to death. That's right. But on that third morning, we rejoice and we build the foundation of our salvation on the fact that he rose.
Yes, sir.
He got up. And everything about our life and our churches is about the wise.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. You want me to get personal tonight?
Get with
you. Black Oak Baptist Church needs to get up.
Yep. Amen.
Yes.
Listen.
And where they're preaching at my church tonight, my church is in bad need of rising.
Getting up.
And there's a bunch of daddies that need to get up. Hold their head up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up and come to an altar and get right with God, and then get up and live for God. And mamas need to come to an altar and humble themselves before God and get right with God and get up and live for God. Young people need to get up and make a difference and live for God. Stand up. Rise up. Get up. And when you use that terminology, it means something. Here's what Mr. Webster says about the term rising. It means getting up. You thought it was going to be something real deep, but that's what he said it means. He said rising means getting up. It means ascending. It means advancing. It means increasing. And literally, Mr. Webster says this about rising. He said it means, when I read this about shining, he said rising means reviving from the dead.
Amen.
I like that, Mr. Webster.
Yes, sir.
He says some good things, and he puts Bible application in his definition.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. That's what it means. Get up from the dead. Rise up from the dead.
Amen.
Advance. Be elevated from where you are. Amen. Was it Monday night? I asked you where you were. Where are you now? Where are you from a year ago? From 2 years ago? Where are you now? Where are you? The reason you're in the same place, my church is in the same place, and we're in the same place personally, individually, is because we decided to be there.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing to me that a man marries a wife and he'll begin to work? Some of you may have worked on the same job for many, many years. Brother Dane said 30-some, wherever he's at, 32 years. That's a long time. Some of you maybe worked at the same place longer. So you work in hard. You get in there, you know your motive is to go up.
Yes.
If your boss man comes and said, I want to give you 75 cents on the hour, you don't say, no, I don't think so, keep it down there. Would you say that? If he came and said, I want to make you a foreman, well, that's not always a good thing. But if he said, I want to elevate your salary, and it will mean a great increase in your salary. It will mean better benefits, better retirement, better medical. You'll be excited about that. You call as soon as you can. You'll say, honey, guess what? I'm rising in the company. I'm working hard. You get to looking at your paycheck, 40 hours. And then you start calculating. Overtime is time and a half. And so you start multiplying what you're getting by an hour. You think, you know, hey boss, you think I can work in maybe 10 extra hours a week? And then things get real busy, you'll take 20.
Right?
Yeah. You'll take 20.
Yeah.
Man, you're coming driving home, but you keep looking at that paycheck. Something keeps pulling you. It's pulling on your health. It's exhausting your mind. But after you're exhausted and you're working 60 and 70 hours a week and bringing home a good check, you start thinking, what could we do more if my wife could find a job?
Come on.
And then she's working. And then she starts calculating her hourly pay. So now she's taking 60 hours and you're doing 60 and 70. And it's more. And you're buying more land and more houses and more automobiles. And don't forget the Winnebago now. The Winnebago, and you've got one of them Winnebagos, and you love them vacations, and you keep looking at that report from where you got that 401k, and maybe it's making your eyes lit. There's something that's pushing you, driving you. Rise up. Get some more. Keep pressing on. I don't care what the doc said. I'm taking this antibiotic. I'm going to go back to work earlier. I'm sick, but I got to press on. I got to keep on going. I don't want to get down to where I can't make money. What to God that we can understand that we're not getting by being down spiritually and being satisfied. Where's our effort to get up? I'm going to tell you where our effort is. We made up our mind. Now, I don't know what we were talking about by mentioning this to Brother Shaver. That way the seed church came to an elevation where they said, we don't need God anymore.
Yes.
We don't need God. And that's where we got to.
Yes, amen.
We don't need God. If we rise up and get closer to God, He's going to mess with us. It's going to cost devotion from us.
Yes.
How can we be devoted to God when we're devoted to our job?
Come on. Amen.
How can we be devoted to God when we're devoted to that 10-point beer? Listen, y'all think I'm against everything. I'm not against everything. Most everything, but not everything. I'm just against things that are killing us.
Right.
And robbing, causing us to become idolaters. We're devoting our relationship and our love. We turned our back on our Lord.
Right. Yes.
This world's never done anything for me.
Right.
Never done anything for me. But the Lord has done everything for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for God.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here. I'd probably be on drugs or in hell. I wouldn't have had the family that I got. God has done everything.
Yeah.
He gave me the free church. He gave me that stripy tie right there. He gave me that belt to hold my britches up. He gave me this pair of pants. He gave me those shoes. He gave me the food I ate today. He gave me my wife. He gave me that truck out there to drive.
Yeah.
He gave me that car. Right. He gave me the house that I live in.
Yeah.
He gave me my children. He gave me my grandkids. Yeah. He gave me the couch, the table, the chair, the bed that I lay on. God gave me all that.
Yeah.
He gave me all that. He is my life. He's my thrill. He's my very existence of my peace. He gave me the peace that's in my heart.
Yeah.
He gave me that. He gave me that hope in heaven. He back a long time ago and said, Ronnie, I've called to prepare a place for you. He spoke all this in existence with one word. And he walked into my house and called me secret.
Yes, sir.
That's
going to be a wonderful place to be.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I've already got folk up there. I've got investments in heaven. I've got a longing in my heart to get there tonight.
Amen.
I've got a longing. I've got mixed feelings, Brother Joe. I want to go, but I'm sad-hearted about those that are not ready to go.
Yeah.
Because there's more work to be done. Amen.
Yeah.
I can't go till the sun sets. It may be setting outside tonight, but it's not set on the church age yet. And there's more work to be done.
Amen.
And we've got to do something.
Yeah.
Everybody that knows God's got to be busy.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to go. I'm just barely getting started. I want to say this tonight. There are enemies. Enemies. Hey, when you read in the Bible the need for arising, then it means this. Are you listening? It's elementary tonight. But the reason we need rising is because we're down.
Yeah.
We're down.
Yeah.
We're down by a fall. Some people fall. There's been a lot of people fall morally. That's a terrible fall.
Yes.
It's a terrible fall. There's a lot of preachers that have fallen morally.
Yes.
And I'm sad about that. I'm not gloating about that. I'm not proud that I'm still serving God and they've fallen. I'm sad they've fallen.
Yes.
And I'm stepping in the fear of God, realizing it's only by His grace that I'm still here.
Yes.
I'm not making fun of nobody, not throwing rocks.
Right.
I just believe this. If a man of God falls morally, he needs to have enough grace and dignity in his heart to close his Bible, go back home and keep reading it, but stay out of the pulpit with
him. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all
believe that?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
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 He needs to stay out of the pulpit and quit preaching. Amen.
Yes.
Falls morally. David fell suddenly. He fell morally. I'm not sure. I think it's in 1 Chronicles 32, somewhere around there. But the devil, Satan, came to David and tempted him.
Right.
He tempted him to number Israel.
Right.
Yes. Number Israel. And so he fell from the temptation, and he demanded that Joab organize a numbering of Israel. And God was displeased.
Yes.
The judgment that David choose his own judgment.
Right.
And the judgment that he chose cost the lives of 70,000 men in Israel. People need to rise because they've fallen. Bigger trees break smaller trees.
Yes.
When they fall.
Yes.
Daddies fall, they break children.
Yeah.
Mamas fall, they break children.
Right.
You fall, you break and influence other people.
Amen.
Preachers fall, they break a lot of people.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
You fall. But the kind of fall that I'm interested in, that I think affects me, is affecting this church and affecting all of our churches. My church is a passive fall. A fall that happens real slow.
Right, man.
Real quick.
And I pray.
Over a period of time. All of a sudden, you lose your interest for sinners. All of a sudden, you're not studying like you used to study. All of a sudden, you're not moving toward God like you used to move. Slowly and gradually, a Wednesday night here, a prayer meeting there. Used to be faithful to revivals and invite people and put out flyers. Now, you find that excuses maybe come two nights. Just gradual and slow and slow and slow. You realize one day you're in a low place. Well, Joe, I've never seen so many low Christians in all my life.
Right. Amen.
Churches are low. There's great crowds hanging over. Auditoriums are all over the land. People come in. They've got their face down between their knees. They're sad. They're trying to send Amazing Grace, but it's coming from right here. It's not coming from here in the Lord's.
Heaven, Lord.
No.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Man of God can put people on the guilt trap without testifying. They still ain't going to move. They don't have any feeling to testify.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
There's no leadership to testify.
Right.
There's no tears to testify. There's no bubble. There's no slosh. There's no joy. There's no warmth. You know in your mind that you need to be thanking the Lord for all He's done for you. And you know that, but there's nothing coming out of your heart to want to thank Him anymore.
Amen.
Am I the only one who knows what I'm preaching tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen. That's exactly right.
We're down.
Right.
We're down. We need to get up. We need something to affect us. To get up. To rise up. The Lord can get us up.
Right.
Amen. I can't get you up. And you can't get me up, but God can get people up.
Amen.
He came to get us up.
Yes.
He paid the price to get us up.
Yes.
He gave us His Spirit to give us up. This Bible's got the power to get us up.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The power to get us up.
Right.
Now,
yes,
let me just mention this and I'll quit.
Yes,
I'll quit. I want to mention some enemies of rise. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
A depressed will is an enemy of rising. Depressed will. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't hear much about depression. I never was depressed. Of course, I've been laying around eating potato chips, laying in front of the TV and playing
Amen.
Football all my life.
Amen. Amen. Playing with computers.
I was playing ball when I wasn't doing chores. Or building three forts, or in rock fights, hitting my buddies in the head, putting stitches inside their head. I had a blast when I was a kid. I'd get done with my chores. If I had permission, I'd be out. My brother and I talk about to this day, sometimes we'd be a mile from home, in some friend's house, or up in the field playing ball somewhere. Mom and Dad didn't know where we was at.
Right.
We didn't live in a neighborhood where you had to worry about perverts.
Right. Amen.
You didn't have to put 15 bolt locks all over your door. You just went out, let the screen door slam, and you kept on running.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You didn't have to give your children phones and tie keys around their neck. I understand it's a different day.
Right.
It's a different day. And there's still a lot that we don't need to do now.
Right.
I still think, and I'm teaching it right here, but you need to give your young ones some work to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They need to know what a hoe handle is.
Yes.
No.
Yes, sir.
They need to know what, and I would highly advise you to start them out with a push mow. It would be good for them to push mow the grass when it's 93 degrees in the humidity.
Amen.
Amen. Right. And it'll be, you say, well, my kids won't eat their vegetables. If you get them off them Debbie cakes and them cheese doodles or whatever you call them, and them coats, you take them fried okra and cornbread and green beans in front of them, if they'll push that lawnmower long enough and hold in that garden long enough and pick up that nasty bedroom they waller in, look like a hog trough, and you let them get by with it, and if you wear them out for that saxon they're doing, and boss them all out, between the whippings and the work, they'll eat that okra or die.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when I was raised, you ate what was on the plate, but now, we got a bunch of little heathens that think mama runs a short order cook in a kitchen somewhere. And they tell her what to eat. They tell her what groceries to buy. It wasn't that day. It wasn't like that in my day. You ate what was cooked before you. And if you didn't want that, go to bed hungry. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir. You preach it right.
Yeah. That's another thing it felt good to say. That's right. I'm being honest with you. I'm not trying to entertain you and make you laugh. I'm being honest.
Right.
That's the reason we're so loved. And we're so there. We quit doing what this book says to do right here, and it's been a gradual slope.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
A depressed will is an enemy of rising.
Yeah,
I'm not going to take time to go there and pick it all apart and study.
That's the Lord.
But there is a Bible verse for that, and it is a good application from a man of God by the name of Elijah. One of my heroes in the Bible.
Yes.
1 Kings chapter number 19. That forked tongued Jezebel run her mouth.
Amen.
Amen.
And I don't know why, but he hit a breaking point. And he fled for his life.
Yes.
He ran to a certain point and he had his servant with him. But when he got to that point, he left his servant. When people start downhill in the depressed wheel, they start severing relationships.
Yes. Yes.
And he crawled out yonder out there in the wilderness under a juniper tree. And he asked God for the permission to die. Kill me. I don't like living anymore.
Right.
Now you can think what you want to think, but there's people that know God that get in that condition.
Yes, sir.
That's a sad condition.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bad condition.
Yes, right.
To get in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord knew where he was. And if it wasn't for the Lord coming and putting a fire and some meal, some bread, some water, and pulling on him and beckoning him. Now let me tell you something tonight. Everybody's out there, and I'm just picking this up. But every day, thank God for guitars, and thank God that people use them for the glory of God. But Baptist churches, I don't know how to play one, but they've gotten in this thing, and to be honest with you, 99.9% of this Nashville gospel music is nothing but entertainment.
Amen.
I think about the majority of them need to find God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you'll take the bright lights away from it and the big paychecks and those expensive CDs they're selling, they're going to go back to house and pow.
Yeah.
They're going to hang the guitars up. Oh, I lost a bunch of people right there.
Amen.
You tell them the truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Our churches are not the place. You call a God. Have a gospel singing down here. No, really don't do that. But if you have a gospel singing on Saturday night, and we had, what did we have? 30 or 40 down here? They're reminding me. You have a gospel singing. By the way, there's a preacher in my neighborhood, and his church is down with hardly nothing. And I mean that literally. And they had homecoming day because he showed up at my church on a Sunday night. I said, "Bro, what you doing here?" Well, we had homecoming day called service off, and I thought, "Come down." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you come." But I didn't ask for no details. My wife got details. She's a detail one. And so she got talking to his wife and found out they didn't have no Sunday school, no Bible teaching, didn't have no Bible preaching. But they named this gospel singer they have here. And here's a church with nobody, and they have 300 show up.
Yes, 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 sir.
300. They had to feed that crowd. People are trying to get up by being entertained.
Well, amen.
When Elijah got down, God brought food from heaven. And that food from heaven is in that King James Bible.
Yes, sir.
And there's so many people that are down so low, so preacher, I don't want to hear that anymore.
I'm looking for something else. I don't need preaching anymore. I don't want it. I'm sick of it. I want something different. I've got a cousin, a friend. They're going down here to the Flapjack Baptist Church somewhere that's got a building like a football field, and their young people's doing everything in the world. They're having big crowds and big time, and that's what I want. But you're not going to get up by going down there.
Amen.
God feeds His people through His Word.
Yes,
sir. And the only way you're going to get up and rise up is to get back in that book.
Right. Amen. Yes,
you don't like my preaching? I'm not asking you like it. I'm not trying to be smart, but sit out there on the back porch tomorrow morning and read that Bible.
Yes.
Find you a place to get along with God and start reading that Bible.
Yes.
And find you a place to pray and get out there on the water and the pine needles for a while and talk to God. And I promise you, if you show interest to get up and be something for God, God, heaven will recognize that.
Yes.
And time will bring you up. Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
There's no other way. There's only one way to be saved, and there's only one way to be revived.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you another enemy of rising, and it's a dark vision. People got a dark vision, and I'm guilty of that. Oh, it's me. Everything's bad, and I get in there and get in my church a lot of times. And I get frustrated with people. I see, I'm looking at the people, and this one's late, and this one hadn't come, and this one's doing this and that, and I see that, and I get all darkened and frustrated. But if you look at God, and I look at God, He'll bring light to our vision.
Yeah.
These are life stages.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Our children are going to be saved. We need to get some light. Brother Joel, you've got to bring light in your house.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brother Dave, your house needs light in it.
Man.
My house needs light in it. And it's our responsibility to bring light in it. Amen.
Man.
Bring the gospel light and have an outlook. And talk about how good God is instead of people complaining about Obama all the time.
Come on.
And complaining about gas prices all the time. And complaining. And I know those things affect us. I'm not being stupid. But that's all we talk about. Our conversation needs to be in heaven.
Amen.
This world's not our home. We're just a passing through.
That's right.
We're pilgrims on a journey. We're headed for another country.
Yeah.
That's what Hebrews 11 talks about. That's the reason they were patriarchs of the faith. They had their eyes set on another country. They loved the other country. They were headed for the other country. Listen to me. That's why they dwelled in tents.
Right.
They didn't want anything permanent in this world.
Listen.
Now we idolize houses.
Come on.
You know what the dumbest
thing is
I've ever seen? People build these $300,000 homes. And they go to bed at night. When you go to bed at night, listen to me. You're supposed to turn the lights out. It's supposed to be dark when you go to bed. But they go out there and get an electrician to put these massive floodlights on the front of their house at night time. You know why that is? So everybody else can drive by and say, ooh, look what they got.
Right. Amen.
Amen. That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Praise
God.
That's right.
Look what
they got.
Amen. Listen, I'd rather have a 10-foot wide house trailer.
Yes, sir.
With God in it.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Than to have a castle and idolize that thing.
Right.
Idolize. People go out and spend $100,000 for a vehicle. Drive it down the road to impress people that may look at it one time. And you care less if you're even driving. And never see it again.
Right.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Our problem is we're fascinated by this world. We're fascinated by this world. The dark vision has affected our eyesight. Amen.
Amen.
We need to get up. Get up. Do you want to get up? Do you want to work 70 hours? You will, won't you? You want to. Do you want revival to come to this church?
Yes.
You could if you want.
Yes.
Right.
You want a closer walk with God? You could have it if you want.
Amen.
He came for the purpose that gives you life. He got me out of the pit when he saved me. And I've been in a lot of holes since I've been saved. I don't like holes.
No.
I don't like holes. I went out. And I was in a bad shape. I went out. I wouldn't talk to me out. I will tell you something. You don't have the purpose, and I don't have the purpose what you want from God. If that corporation down there working for them you think is going to benefit your life, that you'd sell your soul to it.
Oh, Lord.
And make the money and have the retirement. How much more do you think God could help your family?
Oh,
I think He could do a lot better job.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's go back. Do you want to rise? Why don't you do like Bartimaeus and say, "Help! Stop! I'm over here!"
Yes.
Why don't you do like that woman with the issue of lust and everything she had? But with the last ounce of strength, she pulled herself up. She got out there, pushed through a crowd, got to the hem of the Master's garment, and said, "If I could touch you,
right,
I'd be home."
Amen.
Amen.
You know what I believe about that woman? I believe she wanted to get up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
She wanted a higher life than what she was living.
Amen.
You want that tonight?
Come on.
Why don't we just pray an altar? If you feel the need to pray, you just come tonight.
Yes.
Let's stand together.
Yes.
If you feel the need to pray tonight, you come.
Oh.
Find a place to pray.
Oh, gracious Lord God.
Higher ground's available for us tonight.